I'm going to try to maneuver around here a little bit so that you can see the rest of me, that I'm not a disembodied head. That's my problem with being short. I run into this all the time. But I'm very, very glad to be here. And I'm very glad to be here, not because I want to entertain. I'm glad to be here because I want to call you on. Please, 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 whatever your age, whatever your background, wherever you've been and wherever you are right now, don't stop. Don't stop. Because the Lord's Holy Spirit came upon us many years ago, certainly in our confirmation, but oftentimes we didn't know what to do with it. We didn't know how to use it. And God in His mercy gave us an outpouring, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I remember being in Rome for the first international conference in 1975. And there were thousands upon thousands of us from every, literally from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation in the world. And it was astounding to watch the work of God in bringing people together. We couldn't speak one another's languages, but all we had to do was look at one another. Some of you may have been there and you can tell your stories too. But people would just throw their arms around one another. And they might be able to tell you the country they're from. But we didn't understand much else. But we knew that the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon us in a fresh way. And we're not here to look at the past, but to look at the present. What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing with the gracious mercy of God who gave us a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? If you're here this afternoon because you want to just have a little refresher, you're going to be disappointed. I want you here because I want to call you on. Husbands, wives, single people, men, women, religious, priests, God had mercy on us, and He gave us a fresh outpouring of His Spirit that we might be able to do His work and that we might be drawn into union with Him. And His gifts and His graces are infinite, and so He touches each of us differently. You don't compare gifts. You use what you've been given. When I was in Rome at that conference, one of the most powerful experiences I had, even though Mass was being celebrated and there's nothing greater than that, but I was in the back of St. Peter's, and it was a very hot day in May in Rome. Hot. And hot to the point that people were fainting in St. Peter's. And some of you may have had the same experience. And there was a Frenchman who was probably in his early 80s, and he was beside me here. And then there was a group of women from another country, far away from us, who were on this side. And as the prophecies were being given after communion, prophecies that deeply affected my own life, as those prophecies were being given, the women on my left, and believe me, I understood, there were people literally fainting around us. And they were saying, as the prophecies were being given, they were saying, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here. I'm going to faint. And they really were. I mean, they needed to do something. But on this side, this elderly Frenchman, I looked over, and I thought that God had put me in this position for a reason. I looked over, and here was this Frenchman down on his knees, his face on the ground, weeping. And what I saw was a parable of the seed and the sower being lived out. There was an elderly man who had every reason to be uncomfortable, who was paying more attention to the Word of God than to himself. And there were these women on this side who gave in, and I'm not blaming them. It was hot. But the circumstances became more important than God's Word. And so I want to say to you today, as I'm going to talk about faith, and I know I now have 42 minutes. I want to speak to you about faith because it's pivotal. It's pivotal. What gave me faith to believe in 1975 that the Holy Spirit really was being poured out? I had experienced it personally. I knew it was true in my own life. I thought it was at the beginning just for me. It was for the world. And the same God, the same generous, infinitely loving God for each of us, wants to pour out his Spirit more and more upon us. Right here, right now, in the circumstances that we face. Whether it be family, whether it be jobs, future, whether it be children, grandchildren, whether it be religious life, whatever it is, God desires to pour out his Spirit more on us. The question is whether we're disposed or are we distracted? Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And maybe I'll say it again 2 or 3 days later. How often do I think of the Lord throughout the day? How often do I say, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, help me. Lord, here I am, have mercy on us. How many times do I turn to him? How many times do I look to him in the course of the day? Because he longs to speak to us and to guide us and to direct us. I'm going to tell you a story that, please don't take it as being focused on me, though it is about me. But I'm going to tell you a story because this is what I think is true for all of us. About a year ago, I was walking into a grocery store, and one of the sisters in my community had asked me to pick up something, and I was rushed, and I was impatient, and I was irritable, and I confess. And I walked into the store, and I thought, oh, I don't even know where they are. And I had 5 minutes to get to work at Renewal Ministries, the organization. Here I am, supposedly preaching the gospel, but here I am, you know. I'm being impatient because my plan is being disturbed. And I was going through that complaining, and I couldn't even find the aisle that it was in, and I'm just utterly and I turned and I see this woman further down in the grocery store. This is 8:30 in the morning, maybe like 4 aisles down. And I turned to her, and I saw she had a sign on of the grocery store. So I said, pardon me, can you tell me where, you know, this item is? And she said, yes, sister, I can. It's this aisle. And so I ran back, and I'm going up the aisle, and I'm thinking, she called me by name. I mean, she knew me. She called me Sister Ann, is what she said. And I thought, huh. So I get the item, and I'm all back to being very busy about what I'm doing. And I'm coming up, but I'm still very curious. And so I walked over to her, and she's standing there. And it turns out to be a woman from India who's really a refugee to this country, a woman who'd gone through some very difficult circumstances that I found out later. But she's standing there, and I said, pardon me, do you mind my asking you, how did you know me? Do you know what she said? She said she listened to the radio program. But do you know what she said? She said, sister, don't you understand that the light precedes you? Oh, yeah. That this store is brighter walking.
Hallelujah.
That's it. I'm a sinner just like you. I make loads of mistakes. The question is, do we repent? Cardinal Newman, British cardinal, prayed many years ago, shine in me and so be in me that all with whom I come in contact may know thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. That's what God's asking of us. It's not about me, it's about Him. And God wants to use us, but what has to happen in us, in all of us, me included, is that our faith continue to grow. If you were to say, my faith, yes, I believe, what do you believe? How is your faith apparent? How do you live? How do you make your decisions? How do you determine your relationships? How do you care for one another? All of it has to come out of faith. Faith isn't reserved to Sunday morning. Faith is day in, day out, moment by moment. God wants to give us a greater and greater depth of faith. Scripture tells us faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for, and conviction about the things we do not see. Faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for, and conviction about the things we do not see. How real is heaven for you? How real is the Savior of the world for you in your life? How real is the Holy Spirit? Is it just something you allude to, and yes, I'm part of the charismatic renewal? Or do you genuinely believe that He's right here? He's right here. And He's with you. One of the prophecies that day in Rome was this: because I love you, I want to show you what I am doing in the world today. I want to prepare you for what is to come. Days of darkness are coming on the world. Days of tribulation. Buildings that are now standing will not be standing. Supports that are there for my people now will not be there. I want you to be prepared. I want you, my people, to know only me and to cleave to me and to have me in a way deeper than ever before. How does that happen unless God has time in your life every day? Every day. Every day. Does He? Do you read His word? Do you give Him time? You know, John Paul called the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament radiation therapy. It's the best place to go when you're experiencing your sinfulness. It is. It's the best place to go. Go before the Lord. Tell Him you're sorry. Ask for strength. Ask for new life. How often do you receive Holy Communion during the week? It's food. My radio program is called Food for the Journey, which has to do with the scriptures of the day. His word and the Eucharist are His food for our journey. How much do you eat it? How much do you feast on the word? How often do you receive? It's not magic. although God could do anything God wanted. But the point is, it's our faith to believe that this is real food and real drink for my life and for my circumstances right now. Faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for, and it's conviction about the things we do not see. There's many things we don't see. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Am I living my life? Am I allowing the Spirit of God to increase my wisdom, my understanding, my counsel, my fortitude, my knowledge, my piety, my fear of the Lord, a respect for God, putting God first? Am I living out of that? The Holy Spirit wants to help us to do that. He really does. The second prophecy that day was this: I speak to you of the dawn of a new age for my church. I speak to you of a day that has not been seen before. Prepare yourselves for the action that I begin now, because things that you see around you will change. The combat that you must enter now is different. It is new. You need wisdom from me that you do not yet have. You need the power of my Holy Spirit in a way that you have not possessed it. You need an understanding of my will and of the ways that I work that you do not yet have. Open your eyes, open your hearts to prepare yourselves for me and for the day that I have now begun. My church will be different. My people will be different. Difficulties and trials will come upon you. The comfort that you know now will be far from you, but the comfort that you will have is the comfort of my Holy Spirit. They will send for you to take your life, but I will support you. Come to me. Band yourselves together around me. Prepare. For I proclaim a new day, a day of victory and of triumph for your God. Behold, it is begun. We're living in that time. One day for God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, that we have entered a new era. And if you look at the church right now, and you look at the circumstances that we're facing. I wrote a little booklet called Faith More Precious Than Gold. That little booklet is available to you. I work for Renewal Ministries with Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck, and our website is renewalministries.net. And you can see all of our booklets, everything on there. You can order whatever you want. I'll try to get you a discount. Seriously, I will. The booklet is called Faith More Precious Than Gold. I think it would be very helpful to you. If you look at the statistics in the church right now, in a major archdiocese in this country, this is now, they've reported the following. Infant baptism has declined 42%. Adult baptisms have declined 51%. Catholic marriages declined 45%. Those seeking full communion with the church, dropped 43%. That's our CIA. These percentages are reflected in many other American dioceses as well. That's not just one archdiocese. I'm just giving you one. That's prevalent across the country. Why? We've lost faith. We don't believe. And you can say, I'm a sinner. You can't use me. Of course he can. That's who he used. He wants us. He wants every one of us. And that doesn't mean going around preaching. It means living it. Living your faith, living hope, living love. And God does his work. I was, just the other day, I was in a huge office building. And again, I was very busy. Things to do, people to see, places to go. I'm important, you know. And that I know, I see my own pride at work. And so I'm walking down a hall, but I notice this man, and he's standing there, very well-dressed man, and he's got a paper in front of him, and I know he's probably looking for a particular office. And it's a medical building as well as all other kinds of things, but in a primary where a lot of medical offices. So I thought he's probably looking for something. And so I thought, honestly, I hesitated. And then I looked at him, he was standing there, and I said, pardon me, do you need help? He said, I certainly do. He said, I don't know, and he named the office that he needed to get to. And I said, oh, I know where that is. And anybody who knows me knows my sense of direction is terrible. Physical direction. Somebody said, God put it all in the spiritual realm. You don't have it in the physical realm. But anyway, I said to him, I know where that office is. I can get you there. I took him right to the office. And he said, thank you very much. And I said, you're welcome. And I turned to go. And he said, really, thank you very much. He said, right now in my life, I have no one to talk to. I'm very grateful. God wants to use us in all the little ways. The ways that make a difference in someone's life, the ways that change people's lives. Kindness, generosity, forgetting yourself, reaching out. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Most people say, I'm too busy. I say it too, and God said, I'm going to show you. We're all busy. Part of that's our problem. Too many opportunities, too many things to do, too many things to sign up for. We need wisdom. What to do. But what I'm saying is, there are many of you here that I think you're probably concerned about your children and your grandchildren because of this. You're concerned about what's going on. Concerned about your families. Do you know what you need? You need to get down on your knees. If you have a spouse, getting down on your knees together or as a family together, pray every day. God answers prayer. Lord, we don't know how to work through this situation. Lord, we don't know what to do. Or if you're like me, a friend of mine, a real friend, a genuine friend, said to me some years ago when I was really complaining about something. And I was saying, and I wanted to do this, and other people wanted me to do that, and I just didn't, and I'm mumbling. And she said to me one day, who do you think you are? The vice president of creation? And my response was, yes, God would do well to listen to me. And then I heard myself. Talk about arrogance. God heard it. And I said, it was like somebody hit me over the head. And I said, oh my gosh, Lord. She just looked at me. She said, I think you better go to confession. And I said, I think so too. But the point is, for all of us, everything rises up, you know. If God would just do my will, then we could all be happy. God, I'll tell you what needs to happen. I've done that. I don't do it anymore. Because I've learned in faith that I have a Father in heaven who loves me. I happened, by the grace of God, to have a very good earthly father. A father who went bankrupt, a father who suffered much, a father who lost much, but a father who was faithful to his children, and a mother. But speaking about my father, and if my father, my earthly father, in the midst of all his pain and difficulty, could be a good father to me, and I could give a whole talk on it, then how much more will my heavenly Father take care of me? Papa, Abba, Daddy, help me, show me, protect me, defend me, lead me. He's a real father. Do you believe in him?
Amen.
Do you believe that you have it when you're struggling? I don't care how old you are. All of us need a father. Many times we didn't have good earthly fathers. We have a heavenly Father who is good, who is all good. Turn to him in your need. And you have Jesus who saved you. If Jesus hadn't died for you and me, we'd go to hell. He came to save. Do you believe that? When I fail, I go to him and say, Jesus, thank you for saving me, because you've got to do it one more time. One more time I fail. And I probably will before I go to bed tonight. But I turn to him, and he is my Savior. The problem is, I'm okay, I can take care of myself, thank you very much. And everything, brothers and sisters, everything that, almost everything that you see on TV, on the internet, on any website, is going to lead you in a different direction. What are you taking in? What are you listening to? What are you paying attention to? It can destroy your faith. And I'm not being dramatic. It actually can. I've had too many young people coming to me, either ready to commit suicide or something close to it, because they bought into what the world told them was important. And I understand it's seductive. It pulls you. What we have to do is say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm afraid. But I want you to be Lord of my life. Because you created me. And you created me in such a way that I am truly your son and daughter. And you created me so that I could glorify your name and that I could be happy with you forever. And when we failed to follow you, you gave us your only begotten son, his only son. I've seen fathers watch their only sons die. I've watched it in this life. And the agony of that and the pain of that is awful. And God, your heavenly Father, gave his only son. Did he just say, okay, you go, you die? God the Father anguished over what we did to his son. But he gave his son so that you could live forever. Do we believe that? Do we live out of that? It's not just some truth that we put on a shelf and pull out when we say the creed. He's my Father. He's my Savior. And He gave me of His Spirit so that I could become like Him. I had the privilege a number of years ago to spend a day with Mother Teresa when she came to Franciscan University to give the commencement address. This was back in the late 70s. And Father Mike Scanlon asked me if I would take care of her for the day. And I didn't know her really well then. I mean, this was before she was so well-known. She was becoming well-known, but not to what she reached before her death. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So I came, drove here to the Pittsburgh airport, picked her up, and spent the day with her. It was wonderful. And at the end of one conversation, she had been asking me about me and the work I did, etc. And I said, oh, Mother, you know, what I'm doing is really, and I meant it, honestly, nothing in comparison to what you're doing. I'll never forget her. She was shorter than I am. And she came up and she grabbed me by the shoulder. She literally did. And she shook me. And as tiny as she was, she could shake you. And she shook me. And she said to me, now you listen to me. I said, yes. And she said, you are doing what I cannot do. I am doing what you cannot do. Together, we are the body of Christ. Uh-huh. Do you understand? I said, mm-hmm, I do. I do. And it changed me. I didn't compare myself after that. I play my part. I do what God has asked of me. And that's what God is. There's all kinds of ways in which God wants to use you. Lord, Lord, use me. Lord, use me for your kingdom. Use me for my children, for my grandchildren. Use me for my next door neighbor who drives me up a wall. Use me. Ask him. Let your faith come alive. But most of all, know who he is as your Father. Cry out to him, Abba, Papa, help me. He will. He will. Jesus, I need to be saved again. Will you save me? God will never say no to you when we come to him. Never. But so often, I think you can see this, so often we live like we don't have a Father and we don't have a Savior. We live like I've got to do it all right, or I won't get to heaven, rather than a relationship in which, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus draws us into the life of the Trinity. I mean, that's real. Baptism isn't a ceremony. Baptism is giving life. Take a look at the catechism. Look at what it says about baptism and what you're given in baptism. And then start saying to the Lord, okay, I guess there's some gifts I've never opened.
Amen.
Come. You say, well, I'm nothing. Scripture says, apart from God, I can do no good. And that's true. But with God, with the power of His Spirit, with the graces of baptism and confirmation, you know what could happen? And I don't say this dramatically. What could happen is that the tide could be turned in our country. We're in some pretty difficult spots right now. And we're more and more vulnerable as a country. And I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about we were one nation under God, and we're not operating from that in the way we should. You are enough. If 12 were enough to change the entire world, what about you? Honestly. You on your knees every day praying, Lord, use me. When you fail, repent as fast as you can. Don't be afraid of repenting. I repent probably 15, 20 times a day. And that's probably minimizing it. I have to repent. My own selfishness, my own pride, my own fear, my own frustrations get in the way. But when I say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, He does. Love Him. Relate to Him. He's right here with you. Faith, more precious than gold. Have you found the gold yet? The infinite gold. God wants to give it to you. He longs to give it to His children. Many years ago, I was speaking in Minnesota, and I had gotten to know a woman pretty well. And she and her husband had, and this would have been back in the 1950s, and they wanted to start a frozen pizza business. Well, 1950 was not the year of frozen pizza. Nobody even thought of pizza. And they were far ahead of the game. And so no matter what they tried, it didn't work. And she said, we really wanted to serve. We wanted to help the church. And we thought we'd start a business like this. We really could be blessed and would be glad to give it to the poor and to the church. She said, honestly, that's what we intended. And she said, but no matter what we tried, it failed. Nothing worked. And she said, I knew that God wanted us to do this. I just had this sense that it was from God, that God wanted us to do this. I didn't quite get how it all came together, but she said, so one day she was driving in a car and she said, this Protestant pastor was speaking on the radio and he was saying, every act, everything you want to do, every project, take it to the Lord first. Ask Him to bless it or ask Him to show you what He does want. Always put it before the Lord, not just as a token, but really give it to Him, which is an act of faith. So she said, I was just so discouraged. And she said, they had even, the government at that time had said they wanted to help new businesses start, so they would, if you qualified, they would give you $25,000 to start a new business. And she said, it was rejected. Our request was rejected. I'm sure frozen pizza didn't quite translate at that time. And so she said, we were very discouraged. When I heard this preacher, she said, I pulled the car off to the side of the road. I got out of the car. I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, I think we're supposed to open this pizza business. Only you know, really, if we should. I just tell you, Lord, we want to do it for your honor and glory. Will you help us? And she said, I got up off my knees. This literally happened. Got up off my knees, got in the car, and drove home. The check for $25,000 was in the mail that day. Oh, though they had been denied, the check was there. So over the years, they had the cathedral rebuilt in the state they were in. They Catholic high school, athletic fields. They did all kinds of things for the church. And when my friend was dying a few years ago, she was lying in bed, and the her husband had died. And she kept saying to her children, she kept saying, "Do you see the light? Do you see that light?" She, her faith had just grown enormously. And they're all going, "No, Mama, we don't see any light. No, Mama, won't you? Can't you see the light?" "No, Mama." So they tell me, the doctors tell me that doctors and nurses on the last day before she died, they were, her room in the hospital was filled with people on their knees praying because they had never experienced such peace. And she was dying of heart failure. And one more time she said to her children, do you see the light up there?" And nurses will tell me that happens sometimes, that can happen. This woman was saying, do you see the light? And these poor daughters, you know, "No, Mama, we don't see any light." And she, you know what her last words were? "Next one up, bring my sunglasses." Do you want faith? There's faith. There's faith in practice. It doesn't have to be, you know, on your knees all the time, 22 out of 24 hours. That's not the point. The point is, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him as your Father? Do you trust Him as your Savior? My goodness, this country could turn around. If as I said earlier, if it happened with 12, why can't it not? My encouragement to you, to each of you, is to go home and put your life before the Lord. Or go to church, which you can go home to. He's there. He's both places. Go to home and just say, "Lord, I want to give you my life. Show me what you want of me." Bring your plans to Him. Bring your hopes to Him. Bring your dreams to Him. Say, "Lord, speak to me. Teach me. Lead me." And then be prepared, because He won't do it in the way you expect. He won't. It'll come through someone else, or it'll, you know, some homily will be preached and you go, "Bingo, there it is." You'll hear it. But it's that disposition of faith to say, "I believe I have a Father who loves me. Who loves me infinitely." Do you know, when I was in grad school, my father and mother had grown up at a time right after the Great Depression, and they had never been able to go to college. Here I was getting a master's degree, and I had an oral report, or oral test to do that lasted about 4 hours with a lot of men who smoked cigars and pipes. So it was a very interesting time. Anyway, when it was over, I walked out thinking that, okay, I think I did it. I think I passed. And then the man came up, he said to me, you've passed, you're in. And so I went out and I had to drive probably about an hour or so to the mother house at that time. And I walked out on the side door and there was my father. My father was on dialysis. He was on dialysis for years. He lived longer than any doctor ever expected. His kidneys were failing. And he had driven 3 hours to be there for me. Never expected it. He said, "So did you pass?" I said, "I did." He said, "Then let's go for pizza." Took me out for pizza and then drove 3 hours back home. Little, in one way, little, but for him, that was very difficult. Do you think your Heavenly Father is not infinitely greater than my Father? Don't you think He's there for you in every circumstance? Where's your faith? Think of what, read John 14, 15, 16. 16, 17. Read the Gospel of John, those four chapters, and look at the relationship between Father and Son. Look at that. Pay attention to that. You're called into that same relationship. I'm getting the signal that I have one more minute. Okay, one more minute. There is a book that I'm going to recommend to you. It's entitled The Gift of Faith. And it's written by a Polish priest, so you're not going to quite be able. It's Tadeusz, and his last name is Dajcer. I'll spell his last name for you. D-A-J-C-Z-E-R. His first name is actually Thaddeus, but it's not spelled that way. This is Polish, so it's Thaddeusz Dajcer. The book was published by an organization in Konrad. It's a foundation in the Arms of Mary Foundation in Fort Collins, Colorado. You want to grow in your faith, this book, The Gift of Faith, it's very practical, it's very inspirational. It will root you, it will help to root you into Christ in a way that I have not found with any other book, honestly. So I would encourage you. Lastly, I've probably got 10 more things to say, but I won't. I'd be good. Our children are being taken in very different directions than God wants them to go. And we know what we're dealing with. And I want to say to you, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. If you can, as husbands and wives, pray together every day. Don't tell God what needs to happen. God knows. I had to learn that lesson. I just bring the need to God and say, Lord, whatever you need to do to help this to change, will you please do it? And God will hear your prayer. He will. For your spouses, perhaps. For dear friends. God will hear your prayer. Faith more precious than gold. Tried by fire. And God will accomplish his purpose. So may the gift of faith given to you in baptism and in confirmation, may that gift flourish in your life. Keep asking. And as he leads you to reach out to other people, don't preach. Don't preach. Just serve. Just help. Just be friend. Just be kind. And watch what happens. God is very merciful, and he will have mercy on us if we give him the right to work through us. He won't force himself on us. So may God be praised. May all the honor and the glory be his. Amen.
Amen. Amen.